we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, so what about the racetrack ministry?
I'm on my way down. Yeah, come down.
I want to join down. Okay, let's go. Somebody got to preach to you.
Somebody got him. Right here are the notes.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes.
All right, thanks.
I'm heading down now.
Lord, we pray for Chaplain Frank as he goes to the racetrack. Keep him safe. Keep all the racers safe. And we pray that the sun would shine, the track would dry out, and they would have a great day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's his ministry. That is Chaplain, Pastor Franks, whatever you want to call him. That's his ministry. He goes to the racetrack and he does his thing down there. But, you know, I was reading the Bible the other day. And I read the Bible every day, but I just had to read this to you. It comes from the book of Isaiah, and it's kind of like, I want you to tell me something. So this is the scripture. They lift it upon their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It does not move from its place, though one may cry to it. It cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his distress. What is it? What is it? Yeah, what is it? I was reading. It comes from Isaiah 46:7. What is it? Aha. Good trivia question, yeah? Good trivia question, because nobody can answer them. What is it? It is an idol. They carry it on their shoulders. They place it in their place. It cannot move. And when I'm in distress, I call to it, and it does nothing. It is an idol, a man-made thing that they would worship. Crazy, huh? You couldn't imagine worshiping something that you made. What would it do? Whew. Well, anyway, that was just from my reading. I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, and I thought, well, you know, it's not that crazy because we worship stuff like our cars, our houses, and I think anything we put before God is wrong, you know, like maybe our children or our jobs, something, things like that. But it was just, I thought it was interesting when I read it. What is it? What is it? Yes, so, hey, you know, I'm far, far, far from an English major. I mean, very far, okay? You ask me noun, verb, adverb, pronoun, but a question mark, I'll be walking around with a question mark above my head because, like, yeah. And so when I was thinking how sin affects us, is it, or how's it sin, how sin affects us, or how sin affects me. Or I was like, what do I use? Affect, effect. And it's like, something as simple as that. I was all confused. But like, maybe I got to go back to fourth grade. Or when did you learn that? Second grade, third grade? I don't know. But so, what's that? College. Colors. Oh. Okay. Ooh, I got to go way back then. Okay, so how sin affects us, and I think sin affects us and in many different ways, but, you know, when you think about sin and, I like that breeze, thank you, Jesus. I heard sin defined in many ways, missing the mark of God's standard, the standard that God set for us in his word, disobedience to the Ten Commandments, sin, whether it's like a small white lie or killing somebody, is still sin, right? I mean, it's small or big, whatever it is, it's still considered sin. And since becoming a Christian and reading my Bible, my eyes have been opened to my sins. And I do sin, like, you know, from calling people names when I drive, and sometimes my thoughts, you know, when I think of leaders in this world that would be better off if something bad happened to them. How many of you think like that? Yeah. Like, I wish that would happen to one of our leaders, that they would catch COVID. And that's awful thinking. And sometimes I think like, oh, I wish something would happen to Putin, and you know, but that's wrong, because that guy, even if he may be evil, he was still created in God's image, and whether you like it or not, God still loves him. So I still sin. And you know, just because they may be evil and I think like that, I'd still sin. And in Genesis 3:10-11, he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And this is, you know, God walking in the garden. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? So this section of Genesis often is referred to the fall of man. This is where sin entered into the world. And before this, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world. But they decided to go against what God commanded them, which is called sin. Sin became a part of this world, and we don't have to look far to see the effect. Now, this is where you use the effect, not affect. I just, you know, took me 59 years to kind of like relearn this. But this is how sin affects, the effects of sin. And sometimes, you know, I just got to look in the mirror to see the effects of sin. Look at me, like, yeah. In 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know, and, you know, sometimes we say, well, okay, so there's a difference between committing a sin and continuing to sin. You know, even some of us most faithful believers, we sometimes commit sin, but we do not cherish it. Like when I call somebody, sorry, an idiot, sorry, forgive me, but I that's the truth. Because when I drive under my breath, when I see somebody recklessly driving, I say, oh, you know. And I do not cherish it. I feel like, oh, I just said something bad about someone that God was created in God's image, someone who God loves. I do not cherish it, and it just, and you know, I am getting better, you know, and so sometimes we don't purposely, but and we don't live in it, but we sin. So, and sometimes when people who commit sin, they don't repent, they don't feel conviction, and they just keep continuing living in sin. They don't repent. I mean, been there, done that before I came to church. Yeah, I would live in sin and no repentance, no asking for forgiveness, just living my life. And, you know, sometimes when you think about it, when people pass on without asking for forgiveness or repenting or receiving Jesus, then they're going to live eternally separated from God, which is a very sad thing. So here's one of the things that really helped me. James 4:17. It's in your bulletin, yeah? I think we should read it together. Ready? Go. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So we think sin. Oh, if I do something bad, right? If I tell the guy next to me they're number one out the window, you know? Ah, son, sin. Or I steal something, that's a sin. Beat up my kids, beat up my wife, that's a sin. Kill somebody, that's a sin. But here we read, sin is not only bad stuff. It's like when you know the right thing to do and you do not do it, it is sin. So when I'm driving down the road and I see somebody want to cut in front of me, and I don't give them the space, and I know that's the right thing to do. After I read this, oh, I step on my brake. Okay, Lord, let them go. Let them go. Whew, thank you, Jesus. That is a victory for me, because I would be on the guy's bumper. It's like, no way, no way you're getting in front of me. No way. not a fair chance. But now I know if that's the right thing to do and I don't do it, oh my gosh, I'm sinning again. So it's like, you now you know, sorry, I just ruined it for all of you. Because now if you know the right thing to do, and I believe in your heart, not only driving, but whatever you do at work, when there's a slacker, and you want to just, you know, stick it to them. Yeah, you know, you every workplace, there's one, right? And you know you want to do something, but now you know the right thing to do. Oh, you cannot do that anymore. I just ruined it for you. Yes. So here we go. Number one, sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You know, sin. It offends God. Yes, it does. It separates from him. God is holy. He cannot ignore, excuse, or tolerate sin as though, oh, that's okay. It doesn't matter, because it does. Sin cuts us off from him, forming like a wall to separate God from the people he loves. And there's a long list of sins that makes God angry and kind of like, you know, makes him like look the other way, kind of like. I remember when my daughter was playing volleyball and they would mess up on the court, and I would watch the coach. The coach would do this. And you know she was mad. She's like, just like turn her back. And when the player seen that, like, oh man. So I think, you know, when we sin and put that wall up, I think God like, oh, maybe it hurts him to look, but you know what? God is God. He so sees all, knows also. In Micah 3:4, it says they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. Instead, he will hide his face from them at that time because they have practiced evil deeds. You know, when Micah was writing this, the leaders, the guys who were in charge of leading the people, the guys, you know, like the pastors and everything like that, our leaders here, back when Micah was writing this, these leaders had no compassion or respect for those that they were supposed to serve. Yeah, they just, so God was kind of mad. They were treating the people bad in order to satisfy their own desires. And then they had the nerve to go and ask God for help when they found themselves in trouble. How many of you have children who no listen, and when they're in trouble, they like, help, figure it out on your own. You made this bed, you sleep in it. Or how many of you like, yeah, you figure it out. Suffer. Yeah. Like my dog ate his dog bed. Shreds all over the patio. Only had the cloth left. So I kicked the cloth on the porch. Next thing you know, I find him. He's trying to lie down on this little bunch of cloth. The dog is big. And I go like, suffer. And my wife gets mad at me. You just bought a new dog bed on Prime Day. And it's in your car. And you let him sleep on the cold cement? Well, he made his bed. Sleep in it. Right, I mean, right, how many of you? Yeah. And I think that's like, God, you made your bed, sleep in. Yeah. So, I gave him his bed. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I did the right thing. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, when we sin, God has that feeling towards us. But yet he wants us to repent. And as soon as we repent, I believe he is right there. So here's number two, sin. It hinders our prayers. Yeah. I learned the definition of hinder like years ago. How many of you ever played racquetball? Yeah, it's a fun sport. And when you get in the way, they call it a hinder. And it's like, what is that? Get in the way, you hinder. It's like, oh, I learned that word. Yeah, so it's sin. It hinders our prayer. It's like it puts an obstacle in our prayers. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes we hold stuff. We hold stuff in our hearts. You know, I ain't going to forgive you after what you did to me. It's going to take a while. Our confession of sin must be continued. I mean, how many of you got to like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry every day. I'm sorry every day. That's me. Because we may not know that we did something wrong. But that's why it's better. It's like, oh, Lord, if I did something wrong, I always ask God, if I did something wrong, show me so that I can repent and not do it again. Okay, yeah, you never give the dog a bed. Okay, Lord, I got it. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so I confess multiple times during the day. As soon as I park my car, sorry, Lord, for, you know, whatever I did or said that may have offended you when I was driving. And I listen. David confessed his sin and prayed, cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. See, when we refuse to repent and we choose to harbor or cherish certain sins, that wall, we put a wall between us and God. Sometimes we don't remember what we did, but our spouse does. Yeah, they remind us often. Remember what you did 10 years ago, 2 days at this time? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we may not be remember to every sin we committed. So our attitude should be one of confession and obedience. Isaiah 1:15. So when you spread your hands out in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. And, you know, this is the beginning of Isaiah. And he was talking about, he says in like verse 2, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons, I have reared and brought you up, but they revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, a donkey its master, its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. So God was kind of upset. After all that God did for them, they kind of like, who are you? You know, just like you did, you help somebody with something, and then the minute they are helped and they're out of it, they're gone and they're not grateful. They don't thank you. They don't remember you. We call that ungrateful, yeah? And in Deuteronomy 31, so this is happening. Moses was on his last leg. He was about to go the way of the earth. He was about to die. He's talking to Joshua. He's telling him all these things, and he was explaining that when they enter the promised land, they're going to stray. And in Deuteronomy 31:17, my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? It's not because of that. It's because they strayed from God. They were disobedient. And poor thing, as Joshua was taking over, Moses is telling him, but I feel sorry for you, because when you take them into the promised land, they're going to be disobedient. He's like, oh, thanks, huh? It's like, telling your kids, man, you're going to inherit this world. Climate change, everything, wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters. Good luck in taking care of this world. Oh, sorry, but that's the truth. Okay, so sin, here it is, number three. It gives the devil a stronghold. Yes, it gives him a grip on you. Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry. Yeah, be angry. Yet do not sin. Well, that's hard because we're in the flesh. We get angry. We throw things. We fly our telephone, smash our computer, punch our car. Oh, it's only me. Only me. Throw your tools. Well, I guess I'm the only honest one in here then. Okay. Thank you, Henry. We're in the same boat. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. You know when you're fighting with a spouse, how many times we let the sun go down on our anger, yeah? Yep. Do not give the devil an opportunity because that's what it does. You know, like Jesus, when he was angry in the temple, he flipped over tables. He was angry, but they say he did not sin. Yeah. It's like sometimes I get so mad at our leaders, and instead of cussing at them, I choose to pray for them. And that's what you do in your anger. Fleshly anger is the one that's bad. That's the one that leads to sin. That's the one that causes the road rage, right? And all the other stuff. It leads to bad action. Now, if we choose to hang on to some of our sins and let it consume us, like every time we see that person that made us mad and that they go down, they're coming towards you, so you turn right into that aisle, like, I cannot see them. Or we replay it in our mind over and over and over again, and we get mad. You know, your heart starts racing, you start getting like, oh, man. That's when the devil gets a grip on us, because now whenever we think of it, they're controlling us, not the Holy Spirit. So we cannot hang on to our sins. We got to let them go. We got to repent, ask forgiveness, and move forward. So here it is. How do we battle sin? Number one, guard your heart and thoughts. Really, we gotta be more aware of it. In Proverbs, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, we gotta watch what we say, what we do, how we do things. We gotta, we gotta not allow the junk stuff to go all the way down into our hearts. We gotta put like a shield. Yeah, and say, you know what? If that thought comes into your mind, like, oh, I'm gonna follow that guy who cut me off. I'm gonna follow him to the parking lot, and I'm gonna flat all four of his tires. It's like, but that, you know, that's wrong. You gotta just tell yourself, I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. Throw it out. Guard it. Colossians 2, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Sometimes I think stuffs and I think, oh, that's not good. I need to start singing and thinking about good heavenly things. Number two, fellowship and accountability. Fellowship and accountability. We have a wonderful men's ministry here. And we come, and we fellowship, and we encourage, and of course we eat, but that's like, and of course, come Sunday, after men's ministry, you reap the benefits of the leftovers, because it's always better on Sunday. Yeah. So, fellowship and accountability is one way to stay, and to fight against falling into the trap of sin. Mark 6:7, he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Then in Luke 10, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going. So you notice in these two verses, he sent the disciples out in pairs. You know, if they sent them out one by one, you figure you can carry that much more territory, right? You ever went door to door for one politician and pass things out? They send you out in pairs. You know why? Because if you go by yourself, you're going to find the nearest rubbish can, jump, drop all the flyers in, cruise around for a couple hours, and come back. Oh, that was hard work, man. Whew. Yeah, I got rid of all mine. I went. Sent them out in pairs. Why? Accountability. They kept each other on, you know, like, hey, you know, I like throw them away. So you cannot throw them away. We're sent out for one duty, one mission. You cannot throw away all those flyers that we're passing out for so-and-so. Sent them out in pairs so that, you know, because if they sent me and Pastor Aaron out and we went from door to door and they seen me and Pastor Aaron fighting back and forth, bickering, hey, I doing this house. No, I doing this house. No, you go do this house. I don't like do this house. And they seen us fighting, then they go think, oh, gospel not really good news if these guys fighting all the time, right? You don't see me fighting with Pastor Aaron. I want to lead worship today. No, no, no. You go ahead. This is all yours. He don't tackle me so he can speak. Accountability. In Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. For if each of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. That's why my wife don't let me go fishing alone. You're going to find one truck and one fishing pole and one tackle box, but no Scott. Uh-oh, what happened? Yeah. Because if I fall in the water, nobody's there to say aloha. I cannot swim either. So, and then in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Power, the power you and I receive from the Holy Spirit, includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. It also gives us the strength to resist the sin and the temptation that the devil will throw at us every day. First Peter tells us, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. You know, so we got to be alert. We got to be alert of our surroundings, where we're going, because we don't want to put ourselves in a dangerous situation because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know, so you be sober. You know, when somebody calls me to go to a house where there's like this an evil spirit, do you think that I go alone? I mean, I go with me and the Holy Spirit, but yeah. When my brother Mike Muniz called me in the middle of the night to go to his house because his wife was possessed, I'm sorry, but I had to drag my wife out of it. Honey, we're going now. Makeup, no makeup. We're fighting the devil. The devil don't care how you look. Let's go. Okay? And I keep telling her, you look fine without makeup. And not that I was afraid, but I was wise. You go into battle, you take somebody with you. Especially if somebody's saying that somebody is possessed. Right? You know, like, you wouldn't be, you know what? I put on the armor of God. I get them. I went by myself. Oh, that's not wise. Even if you can, even if you put on the armor of God, the Holy Spirit is with you, I would just say, hey, take somebody with you. Ephesians 4, do not give the devil an opportunity. Yeah, just don't. So, sin, it has an effect on us. But, yeah, I'm going to close with this. The worship team, you guys can come up. But not only does sin affect us, but sin has an effect on those around us. Remember when Jonah was called to go to Nineveh? He went on that ship. Okay? and the effect that it had on those around him. They had to throw their cargo overboard. They was getting slammed by waves. And all that was not because the guys on the ship did bad, because of one guy did bad. So imagine sometimes if you do something sinful. It's going, like maybe you go to Vegas and you throw all your money on number red 17. Boom, and you come home, you lose, and you no more money for pay your bills. Cannot buy food. Affects your household, your children, and everything else. So not only it affects us, but it does have an effect on those around us. So just be careful. Watch what you're doing, where you're going, how you're doing it. Because the devil is waiting just for one little slip so he can open that small crack in the door so he can put his foot so the door can close, and then he can try and get us to fall. So be careful. Amen? Let's pray. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Maybe some of us need to ask Jesus to be our Lord, to be our Savior. I give you this chance right now. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you want to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you back there. Anybody? God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Or you may put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much for the hands, the hearts that said yes to you. I pray that you would use us to help them grow in their walk with you. That they would learn how much you love them, that you died for them so that they can have eternal life. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hey, so would you stand with me? Those of you who said yes, there is a yes booklet on the table. Please grab one. If you need a Bible, we'll happily provide you with one. So just let one of us know. We can get you a Bible from the back. The yes booklet. Great resources to help you on your way in walking with the Lord. Amen. Amen. You ready? We're ready to sing. Let's sing.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Yeah. That was an awe message if there ever was one, man. And especially because, you know, the leader that he was talking about getting mad at, that was me. And my apologies. I forgot to tell you happy birthday yesterday. Well, happy birthday to you. Make sure you wish him happy birthday on the way out, okay? Let's sing.